The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The disciples told their story of what had happened on the road and how they had recognized Jesus in the breaking of bread. They were still talking about this when Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." In a state of alarm and fright, they thought they were seeing a ghost. But he said, "Why are you so agitated? And why are these doubts arising in your hearts? Look at my hands and feet. Yes, it is I indeed. Touch me and see for yourselves. A ghost has no flesh and bones as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Their joy was so great that they could not believe it, and they stood dumbfounded. So he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they offered him a piece of grilled fish, which he took and ate before their eyes. Then he told them, "This is what I meant when I said while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms has to be fulfilled." He then opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "So you see how it was written that the Christ would suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that in his name repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to this." The Gospel of the Lord. Father Philip has very kindly allowed me to come here today for the wedding of Liv's Dauncey to her beloved Simon Phillips. And when he was sending his last email to me, he said that I could preach a short homily. "Which of you has told him about me?" Somebody must have told him about me. Anyway, it's lovely to be back with you. I know that some of you thought when I left, when I was withdrawn by my provincial, that I was going to retire. Let me tell you that in Wilton Parish, we have three masses every day of the week, 7:25 in the morning, 10 in the morning, and 5:35 in the evening. So that's 21 masses a week. And we get about 3,000 people coming through the doors of our church. Our parish centre, which was built by the founding parish priest in the 1980s, hosts about 50 groups a week, from health workers to children, dancing groups, taekwondo, something I don't understand, something to do with balance, was never good on that. And it's a very lively parish. Many people came from India, from Kerala. These ladies were recruited by our health board to be nurses in our hospital. And after Mass and Sundays, I used to see the Indian groups in clusters there in the wind and the bad elements of Ireland. And so I said, "Let's start a cup of tea after Mass. You see, I was learning from you all the time." And then I said, "The Indians, you need jobs, you need accommodation. Talk to the people of Cork. That's how it works. Somebody told me that there was a house on such a street. That's how you will find out." So we started the 10:30 Mass, and guess what happened? All the Cork people sit there and all the Indians sit over here. And so it hasn't really worked that way, but at least it brings in a group of people after the 10:30 Mass on Sunday. And among those who come are the members of the L'Arche community. It's an extraordinary movement founded by Jean Vanier, a Canadian who had been a captain of a destroyer in World War II, became a teacher of philosophy, and then gave all that up to work with people who were physically and mentally challenged. And he establishes communities of people who are supposed to be normal with people who have any handicap in their lives. And I was very, very saddened to learn yesterday that one of their volunteers, Petra Riedel, a German girl, had been killed while out for a cycle near Cork. So we'll pray for her during Mass as well. Ireland, if you have been following the news, is going through turmoil. Our church and its leaders have been found very wanting. The Pope himself has said that the leadership element in the church has proved disastrously inadequate to the crisis that hit us, and that the care of those who were abused and ill-treated and ignored by the church was made worse by the leadership's inability to cope with their problem. And then just before Easter, we had the Mahon report, which found out that our politicians were, what did they say, systemically corrupt. Oh dear. It looks like the gospel still has something to say to us in Ireland. I'm sure it has something to say to you too. The gospel remains a challenge. It's very hard for us to understand the fear in the hearts of the disciples. You know, we recite the creed and we say that Christ has risen from the dead, and we believe it, thank God. But those early disciples, the witness of the four Gospels is that they were often terrified, afraid. So I tend to like the quotation of a man who said, "When I call myself a Christian, I must realize I'm making a cautious assumption. There are days when my faith is strong. There are days when my hope is large. There are days when my love is wide. But there are also days when my faith and my hope and my love dwindle, and I'm afraid. I'm afraid for the future of our church. I'm afraid for my own future, and I'm afraid for the future of our parishes." So that's understandable. That's the kind of material that Jesus worked with. He worked with people just as he found them. Not supermensch, ubermensch. We're never supposed to be. That was a dream of Hitler's, that somehow we would have a master race. There is no master race. There never will be. There'll just be people, women and men and children, like we have gathered here this morning, who are trying, fumbling and stumbling along the way after Jesus, trying to find the way to God, trying to follow the example of Jesus Christ, trying not to be afraid, or trying to overcome the fear that we feel. So I'm grateful to be with you to tell you that the Church in Ireland will not give up. We will try to do what we should have done in the first place, be a place where the cry of the weak and the vulnerable will be heard, and where the needs of people will be answered. I don't know about you here, but people are saying now that the recession is bringing people together again. People are where they linger longer over the cup of tea. They make the old tea bag stretch a bit. And conversations are being held, and families are getting closer together. I'm not saying the recession is a good thing. What I am saying is that it is good that we look at it again and tackle it. When you think of what has been done in the history of this nation over the last century, the wars you have faced, the rationing, the recessions, the turmoils, the other wars that have happened, you know, and all these things, you take them as a challenge to your faith. Jesus left us with these words: "I have risen from the dead. I have conquered sin and death. You are witnesses to this." That's what the gospel says, and that's what you're living out. Bless you for it, and please continue. The Lord is with you.